Prologue. The Venice Effect. Everyone in Venice is acting, Count Girolamo Marcello told me. Everyone plays a role, and the role changes. The key to understanding Venetians is rhythm. The rhythm of the lagoon, the rhythm of the water, the tides, the waves. I had been walking along Calle della Mandola when I ran into Count Marcello. He was a member of an old Venetian family and was considered an authority on the history, the social structure, and especially the subtleties of Venice. As we were both headed in the same direction, I joined him. The rhythm in Venice is like breathing, he said. High water, high pressure, tense. Low water, low pressure, relaxed. Venetians are not at all attuned to the rhythm of the wheel. That is for other places, places with motor vehicles. Ours is the rhythm of the Adriatic, the rhythm of the sea. In Venice, the rhythm flows along with the tide, and the tide changes every 6 hours. Count Marcello inhaled deeply. How do you see a bridge? Pardon me? I asked. A bridge? Do you see a bridge as an obstacle, as just another set of steps to climb to get from one side of a canal to the other? We Venetians do not see bridges as obstacles. To us, bridges are transitions. We go over them very slowly. They are part of the rhythm. They are the links between two parts of a theater, like changes in scenery, or like the progression from Act One of a play to Act Two. Our role changes as we go over bridges. We cross from one reality to another reality, from one street to another street, from one setting to another setting. We were approaching a bridge crossing over Rio di San Luca into Campo Manin. A trompe-l'oeil painting, Count Marcello went on, is a painting that is so lifelike, it doesn't look like a painting at all. It looks like real life, but of course it is not. It is reality once removed. What, then, is a trompe-l'oeil painting when it is reflected in a mirror? Reality twice removed? Sunlight on a canal is reflected up through a window onto the ceiling, then from the ceiling onto a vase, and from the vase onto a glass or a silver bowl. Which is the real sunlight? Which is the real reflection? What is true? What is not true? The answer is not so simple, because the truth can change. I can change. You can change. That is the Venice effect. We descended from the bridge into Campo Manin. Other than having come from the deep shade of Calle del Mandola into the bright sunlight of the open square, I felt unchanged. My role, whatever it was, remained the same as it had been before the bridge. I did not, of course, admit this to Count Marcello, but I looked at him to see if he would acknowledge having undergone any change himself. He breathed deeply as we walked into Campo Manin. Then, with an air of finality, he said, "Venetians never tell the truth. We mean precisely the opposite of what we say." Chapter 1. An Evening in Venice. The air still smelled of charcoal when I arrived in Venice 3 days after the fire. As it happened, the timing of my visit was purely coincidental. I had made plans, months before, to come to Venice for a few weeks in the off-season in order to enjoy the city without the crush of other tourists. If there had been a wind Monday night, the water taxi driver told me as we came across the lagoon from the airport, there wouldn't be a Venice to come to. How did it happen? I asked. The taxi driver shrugged. How do all these things happen? It was early February, in the middle of the peaceful lull that settles over Venice every year between New Year's Day and Carnival. The tourists had gone, and in their absence, the Venice they inhabited had all but closed down. Hotel lobbies and souvenir shops stood virtually empty. Gondolas lay tethered to poles and covered in blue tarpaulin. Unbought copies of the International Herald Tribune remained on newsstand racks all day, and pigeons abandoned sparse pickings in St. Mark's Square to scavenge for crumbs in other parts of the city. Meanwhile, the other Venice, the one inhabited by Venetians, was as busy as ever. The neighborhood shops, the vegetable stands, the fish markets, the wine bars. For these few weeks, Venetians could stride through their city without having to squeeze past dense clusters of slow-moving tourists. The city breathed, its pulse quickened. Venetians had Venice all to themselves. But the atmosphere was subdued. People spoke in hushed, dazed tones of the sort one hears when there has been a sudden death in the family. The subject was on everyone's lips. Within days, I had heard about it in such detail, I felt as if I had been there myself.